Wonderful. So good to see what God is doing at MKids and Impact. And folks, that's why we built these buildings, was not just to do something or be convenient, but to change lives. And so thanks to everybody who has given. We had some wonderful plans of a grand opening and tours for you to see all these things, and those have not happened yet, but we know they will eventually. But thank you again for all your giving. We've just installed wonderful sound equipment in all of the classrooms, in the youth center, in the chapel. All of that was paid by cash because of your faithfulness. So thank you for your continued giving to the buildings and to all that God is doing at Miracle Life. We are so, so thankful. You heard that Pastor Kundwani noted that tonight at 18 hours, we're going to have a prayer and healing service. God has put this on our heart. We know that there are folks who are facing very, very tough times right now. You've lost a loved one. Perhaps someone you know is COVID positive or struggling, or you yourself. And so we want to look to the Lord tonight. We want to expect His healing power. When Jesus was on the earth, He went about doing good, healing. And tonight, Jesus is going to go about doing good, healing. And so please tune in tonight at 18 hours. Again, tag friends, let people know, invite folks from other churches, and we're just going to see God do a marvelous work among us tonight. All right? So these last 2 weeks in the nation of Zambia, my wife and I, this is now our 18th year in the nation, arguably they have been the most challenging, the toughest since we've been in Zambia for 18 years. Lots and lots of COVID cases. I don't know of anyone now that doesn't know someone who has struggled with that. Many are losing loved ones, especially from the 60 and over age bracket, that folks at grandmas and aunts and uncles. My wife and I, Pastor Hay, we lost a very dear friend this last week to COVID. And so it has come home. It has affected us. I got a text on the way here of a dear pastor friend who lost another pastor friend. And so what do we do? During this time, obviously, President Kuunda left and passed away. Arguably the person who has touched Zambia in the most profound way and helped this nation be what it is now gone. And so it's very difficult to mourn. We're in a period of mourning, official mourning. The economy, prices, inflation, there's the run-up to the elections, uncertainty, all of these things are happening at the same time. So what do we do? What do we do? Do we give up? Are we without hope? If we're Christians, do we look for a shortcut? Do we go back into a familiar sin that somehow makes us feel okay for a little bit of time? The fleeting pursuit of sin or pleasure? Do we go back to drinking and drugs? What do we do during this time? Well, I want to look at an account, and then we're going to actually do that today, of a time in Israel's history where it was dark and it was tough. And they didn't know what to do, but they had a response. And I believe their response will be our response, not just this morning and today, but as we go through this time. And Jesus said, in this world we'll have trouble. And this will not be the last season of trouble, but I believe we can learn what to do during this time. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. And it is the account of what happened to Judah and the southern kingdom. Good leaders, bad leaders, mostly bad leaders, but here was a good leader, Jehoshaphat. And they were surrounded. And there were armies that were too big. And so what did they do? All right. Again, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, you are not God in heaven. And do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? and they dwelt in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our afflictions, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us for us to inherit. Listen to verse 12. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Now, why did Jehoshaphat say that? Why did he call the people of Israel to turn their attention away from these armies? Now, they realized that they were there. They did not ignore them. This was not an ostrich in the sand. I pretend that they're not there. They knew that they were there, but they chose to focus on someone else, and that is the God of Israel, the God who had been faithful. Now, he acknowledged two things, Jehoshaphat. He said, we have no strategy to do this. We don't know what to do. There's no strategy. So that's one of been the things of COVID all over the world is so many different groups and nations and towns or churches. What do we do? Well, it's difficult. We've never done this before. Someone might say, please be patient with me. This is my first pandemic. All right. So what do we do? They didn't know what to do. And then secondly, he said, we have no power. Even if we had a strategy, we don't have the power to do it. We couldn't pull it off even if we had the blueprint. And so we have no power. We have no strategy. But they were not without hope because their eyes were on God. Now, if you go back to the beginning of this passage, you'll see why Jehoshaphat was able to call upon the Lord. And really, this is a prayer that we just read. It's talking to God. And so just this discourse is looking to God and turning eyes towards God. But he noted two things. In verse 6, he noted that God is who he says he is, the God who is in heaven, the God who rules over the nations and the kingdoms of this earth, and that there is power and might in his hand. Now, how did he know that? Because God had said that. God had proclaimed that. He was aware of what God, the self-proclaiming God, had said, and he believed that God, what he said about himself, is true. And I call upon you right now, whatever you know about God from the Bible, believe it to be true. Believe it to be true. Are there things that are surrounding us? Yes. Are they real? Absolutely. None of those circumstances has changed who God is and who God is in your life. Then secondly, Jehoshaphat also said, are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land? Not only does God have character, God has reputation. God has done things. If God has done things, he will do things. And so for you and I, as we look to the Word of God and we see that God healed people in the Bible many, many times who didn't even deserve it. There were people that were outside. There were Gentiles. They didn't even have a covenant with God. And yet God touched and healed them. How much more we who are the children of God. Jesus called healing the children's bread. That means it is provided by a loving Father for our consumption, for our blessing, for our health. Healing belongs to us. And so if God has, then he will today. I can have that expectation, not because I want it, but because God gave me that expectation. So what God says about himself and what God has done in our past. So our eyes must be turned to God during this time. And you know what? As a pastor, as a leader, and working with staff and the board of our church, we absolutely are aware of what's going on around us. And every single day we wait for the Ministry of Health to give the numbers. And are they up? Are they down? How many people have died? How many people are in the hospital? All these things. We need to know that to make decisions for the good of Miracle Life, for the good of Rhema. So we're aware. But guess what? You can't just focus. You can't just focus on press conferences. You can't just focus on newspaper headlines. You can't just focus on political violence that's popped up around the nation. We must turn our eyes to the God who says he's good, to the God who says he's faithful, and the God who has shown that he is in our lives. Now, some may forget, some may be distracted, but today we're turning our eyes on him. Now, tonight, we're gonna do that as well. We're going to have this wonderful healing night. There's going to be a special anointing, special time to reach out to God. But right now, I want you to receive hope, and I want you to turn your eyes on Jesus, all right? Though things are happening around us, they don't have to happen in us, all right? Now, turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. So what Jehoshaphat did and called the people to, Psalm 34 is a wonderful way for us to do it, all right? We're going to see some things, some actions and responses for us to do that God is not only inviting us to do, but he is commanding us to do. You remember if we kept reading in Jehoshaphat's story in 2 Chronicles, do you remember what God had them do? Because it wasn't just to sit passively and wait for a lightning bolt. They put the praisers in front. They blessed the beauty of holiness. They proclaimed that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And as they did that, then God did what they could not do. All right, so we have to do what God is commanding us to do during this season and during this time. And at the bottom line is, we must trust him. We must trust him. All right. Psalm 34, and in scripture, there not all the Psalms have this, but there's sometimes it gives you an indication of what was happening during the time that this Psalm was written. All right. So this one says, a Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Well, what's that? Well, we'll come to that, all right? And that's in David's history, in Israel's history. But let's get into verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm so glad it wasn't 50%. All of my fears he delivered me from. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now let's look at these first 8 verses here. All right. Now, what it says there in the beginning is that this psalm, and when you hear this is this is like a call to worship, isn't it? This could be someone who is maybe giving the exhortation before worship night, and they are happy, and they've just had a great meal. And maybe David wrote this at the end of a Sabbath wonderful day, and he's out on the back veranda, and he's seeing the farms and the beauty of God, and his wife's been kind to him. And he says, oh, the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's not at all when David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm when he was being chased by Saul, the king of Israel. He had been nothing but good to this leader. He had served him. You know, sometimes we get this idea and we say this, after all I've done for you. This is exactly what David could have felt like. of all the good and the kindness and the faithfulness, the loyalty that he showed Saul. And he was being chased, not chased like in a soccer match. He was being chased to be killed. He wanted to end his life. And Saul wouldn't stop. And David delivered him here. And I mean, God delivered David all over the place. Finally, David got so desperate, he actually went to the enemy, to the Philistines. And he didn't want them to know that he was David, the one who killed Goliath, their champion. So he pretended like he was crazy. He dribbled saliva on his beard. He acted like a madman. During that time, David wrote, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." When he was faking to be crazy, when people wanted to kill him, when everything around him was wrong, David knew God. And friend, if you can only praise him during the good times, any heathen can do that. God calls us to turn our face to him, to turn our eyes on him. Lord, we don't have wisdom, we don't have power, but our eyes are on you. Now, what did David say? What were the things that he called us to do? He did it, and then he also invited us to do. So this is scripture. This is God-breathed instruction for us about what to do when life is crazy, people are crazy, there is the threat of death. What do we do? Bless the Lord. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Not in a political party. My soul will make its boast in the Lord for what he has done. I will magnify the Lord. I will get other people to exalt him with me together. I sought the Lord. They looked to him. This poor man cried out. The angel of the Lord camps around just anybody? No. Those who fear the Lord. A reverential worship. An attitude of awe. Taste and see. And then kind of this summary statement. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Who trusts in him. So we seek, we look, we praise, we cry out, we fear, we bless, we boast, we magnify, we exalt. So God is going to show himself strong in our behalf. But please note, this text does not say that God sends an angel to your room while you're watching a soccer match. He doesn't deliver you in your sleep or while you're just goofing off. No, we turn our attention to him. We lift up our voice to him. And I realize that there's things that we have to talk about. And I realize that we have to tell people, wear a mask and do all these different things. And we need to be aware. And are you getting your vaccine? Those kinds of stuff. But you know what? We've got to lift up our voice to God. We've got to exalt him. Do this as a family. Do this as a single person. Call people together. Amen. It doesn't say that while I am fearful and while I am fretful and while I am giving up hope that God appears. Mm-mm. Faith and praise and exaltation, just like Jehoshaphat, that is the atmosphere where God moves. All right. So there is activity that we do, but there is a response of God, a response of God. It says he delivers us. He saves us out of our troubles, meaning the troubles stop. We're in another place other than the place of trouble. We get out of hospital. The oxygen levels rise and we are recovered in Jesus' name. He delivers us out of our troubles. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now I want to call attention to this verse here. And it says that we become radiant. We become radiant. Verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. If you recall, this is very much similar. Remember when Moses had an encounter with God on the mountain? His face was so radiant. The children of Israel at the time couldn't handle it. But the glory of God was shining on him. Now, the New Testament tells us that we have a greater glory. There's more of a reason. The very hope that's in us, that the glory of God should be shining out from us. And let me tell you this, and I want to speak specifically to Christians. I want to speak specifically to believers right now. Zambia needs you to shine right now. Zambia needs you to show up and shine for Jesus. And I realize you may be facing tough times. And my wife and I got news Thursday, and we cried, and we prayed, and I'm still sad. But guess what? You got to shine. You got to show up to work or to the hospital. You got to call your friends, your relatives. You've got to be radiant at this time. It doesn't mean that your emotions are not real and that you're facing some tough stuff. But oh, it is time to be the light. It is time to be the light. Light shines greater in darkness. And while things are dark around us, God is turning up the light. And so be a radiant representative of God in your family. Be a radiant representative of God in your connection group. All right? Let people know that you trust God. And then if we keep reading we'll go ahead in Psalm 34, we see in the next couple of verses that God promises us provision. He promises us to help us practically. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So anything that is part of God's plan, part of his provision, part of his promises, you will not lack. And you know what? I don't like the price of cooking oil. I don't like the price of breakfast meal. But guess what? That means God's going to help you buy it. It means God's going to help you provide. There's going to be no lack. There's going to be no lack. Now, this is not just a cheery statement I'm making for you. I'm not just declaring something. This is the holy written word of God, a promise to you from heaven today. All right? He goes on and he begins to just give us wonderful, wonderful instruction. If we go down to verse 13 here, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, the commands in verses 1 through 8 was a lot about our lips, wasn't it? It was about our praise. Like we sang today, it's your breath in our lungs. So we're going to return it and we're going to sing praise to you. We're going to magnify and glorify the Lord. Well, while we're doing that, be careful to don't let there be deceit on your lips. Don't sin with your tongue. James talked about our tongue and our words, that it's an unruly member. Who can tame the tongue? All right? We need, meaning you can't do it just in your own strength, but allow the Holy Spirit to help guard your tongue. Watch what you say. Watch what you say about other people. Watch what you say if your temperatures and your are rising and you're angry and upset. Don't let your tongue get you into trouble during this time. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it, all right? So in our trouble, don't take another path. You know, David could have taken a path of cunning, of deceit. He could have tried to make a deal using sin, but he didn't. He kept his integrity, and God vindicated him during that time, all right? Now let's look at verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So the Lord hears, and the Lord delivers. You see, when we pray, it's not just a good psychological thing to, well, I got it off my chest. I'm so glad that the Lord hears. I feel good now that I've talked to him. No, we talk to him. We trust him. And God responds. God delivers. And on verse 18, I believe this verse is very, very true for many of you today. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. It's near to those who have a broken heart. And I'm aware that people are broken for different reasons. There may be a friend, there may be a relative. I know there were people that were close to the Chief Justice who passed away. People who feel broken about President Kunda's passing. Whatever the reason is of a brokenness, the Bible tells us God is near. He's not far away. Now, your brokenness may feel real, and it is real, and there is a grief, and the person that we miss, they're not near. Right? They're somewhere else other than among the land of the living. But you know what, friends? We're still living. We're still alive. And people don't have a message from the grave. But I just thought, you know, with KK's passing, those of us who are alive, let's keep building this nation. He started. And there's institutions and things that he started, and he wasn't a perfect person. He would admit that. But you know what? The time of his influence and his building, it's finished. What are you going to do in your nation? Are you just going to gripe and complain? Or let's pick up a shovel. Let's finish the degree. Let's glorify God in our marriages. Let's raise our kids in the Lord. Let's do something that will keep building this nation. Not just nation building, but the heritage of the godly, the heritage of the upright. Amen? But God is near to those who are broken. And tonight, during that prayer and healing service, we're going to have a special time just to minister to those of you who have lost someone dear to you, someone who is... That you're feeling that loss, and so many are. And God, the Bible says, blessed are those who grieve, for they shall be comforted. Meaning God doesn't leave us in that state. He comes, and Jesus said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And so that's going to happen in the body of Christ. And one of the things I want to encourage you, that if you feel broken, please, please, reach out. Reach out to Christians. Reach out to Miracle Life. Don't suffer alone. Don't feel that despondency. That's where sometimes people in their brokenness or in their grief can slide into depression or despair. All right? And there is a church called Miracle Life that loves you and cares for you. And there are hundreds of people that will stand with you and pray with you and connect with you. Now, some of you may already be experiencing that. You're in a connection group. But if you're not, boy, get in one, but also just reach out. We want to be there with you and for you. So the Lord delivers, the Lord guards is what this text is telling us. And so what Psalm 34 is telling us, yes, there's instruction here, but I believe that this is a marvelous, marvelous invitation from God to trust him. Trust him when Saul is chasing you. Trust him when you don't know if you're going to live or die. When everybody is against you. When things around you are tough. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost a contract. And I realize and we've talked to different church members with the uncertainty of elections. For some, it's not just a hope of continuation or change or whatever. It's their job that is on the line during this time. Okay? Whatever you're facing, turn your eyes to Jesus. He cares and he loves. And please understand also, and just a final word of instruction. Remember when God's children were wandering around the wilderness? Mostly because of their stubbornness. God fed them daily with manna. The same God who miraculously fed them with manna, he also brought them to a land and taught them how to be farmers. And they planted and they reaped and they did the right things. And so the God who saves and delivers and heals, I believe he's the same God who also gives us health instructions in Leviticus to not spread germs. And so while we're trusting God, continue to use wisdom. Continue to have social distance. And that's why I'm preaching to a largely empty auditorium right now. I'd love to have you here, but it's not wise. It's not safe right now. Okay? If you got the first vaccine, please, please get the second one. All right. If you didn't get the first one, get in the next queue. All right. Why? It's helpful. It's good. It reduces the chances considerably. All right. So let's trust God, but then let's also be smart and wise at the same time. It's not either or. It's both at the same time. All right. So you may feel chaste. You may feel like giving up, but like David, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's pray. Father, we look to you. And you said today to us in this psalm, as many as look to you, they're radiant. Father, it doesn't mean that everything has changed around us, Father. It doesn't mean that our relative isn't still in the hospital, or Father, we've lost a grandmother or a mother or an uncle, Father. But Lord, we're radiant because of what we see in you, not because of what we read on the headlines, not because of what CNN or BBC or ZNBC is telling us, God. We're radiant because of who you are, because of your reputation. We're radiant because of what we believe you will do in our future. We're radiant because heaven is our home, and there is no more sting in death for the believer. Father, we love you. If you're watching today and you're far from God, you're not born again, you're not saved, or you're a prodigal son or daughter and you've left the family of God, come home today. Jesus loves you. God sent his only son for you. And he planned and orchestrated for his son to be mocked, for his beard to be ripped out, a crown of thorns to be put on his precious head, for nails to be put into his hand and feet, for his life to go out of him. Why? Because he loves you. He doesn't want to spend eternity without you. But friend, listen. Heaven is not reserved for good people. It's not reserved for nice people or religious people. It's only reserved for forgiven people, blood washed, born again people. And today, if you say, Pastor, I'm not born again, here's the good news. As many as call upon him shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? You're in that group called whoever. Call upon the name of the Lord. Be saved today. Come home from rebellion and sin. Let your Father wash and cleanse, put a new robe on your back, give you a brand new life. Pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. You're watching on your screen. You're watching on your laptop or phone. I want you to say these words with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was judged by you for me. I accept that gift. Cleanse me. I repent of my sins. Receive me now. And Father, I believe I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, what a glorious, what a marvelous day. If you are watching this service on Facebook, we want you to just write in the comments, I just got saved. I am born again. All right? We want to reach out to you. There's somebody that will write you back. We want to help you take great steps with God. If you are watching on YouTube, then there are numbers that are on your screen right now. And you can text, you can WhatsApp. Please, please let somebody know, hey, I just got born again. I'm a child of God. And we're going to reach out to you. We want to help you, even though we're not meeting physically. This is a church that cares for you, and we will help you. We'll help you get through stuff. We'll help you grow in Jesus, help you get on your feet. All right? So please, please allow us that great, great, wonderful opportunity. All right, now a couple things before we go, the close of this service. Miracle Life is reaching out to people. We are spreading the gospel through a lot of different ways when we're not open physically. And so thank you, Miracle Life members who are still tithing and giving. Thank you. There are there's information on the screen. There's ways to give online. That would be really the best way, or mobile money. Lots of different platforms that you can do. All right. But also, if you need to, you can come by the church. Security will let you in. You can use the lockbox here at church, and they'll help you to do that safely during the week as well. All right. Now, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, there are people that would love to be able to minister to you. It doesn't matter what the need is. God has a promise. And so our care team members are caring for you, praying for people. And so all those details are on the screen right now. You can go to the website. You can go to the app. Please, please contact us, and someone from Miracle Life will be in touch to be a blessing in your life as we trust and we look to the Lord together. Okay? So we're going to close this service in prayer. But really, this is what we heard today is an invitation from God for us to trust Him. But also, God has different ways in which He administers help. And tonight at 18 hours is a way that God is going to administer grace, help, love, healing, virtue to people this tonight. All right. So please, please make that time. It's not going to go real long. It'll be an hour. All right. And it won't cause all your bundles to go away. But please let people know and invite folks over. You can't really invite them over. Tell them to watch it at their house or their cell phone. Okay, we're going to be together and trust God to move marvelously in our midst tonight, because He wants to and He loves us. All right, let's pray as we go. Father, thank you so much. Lord, we pray right now for every family member of Miracle Life, for every member, Father. Lord, you are near to those who have a broken heart. Father, you are near. Father, thank you that you are. And Father, because you are, we respond. We lift up our voice to you. We exalt you. We sing during the storm. Father, we rejoice before the end. We can see, Lord. We trust you and believe in your delivering hand for our lives, for our family. In Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, as we close, Father, we lift up President Lungu, Father, every permanent secretary, every decision maker, military leaders, Lord, police, everybody that's doing something in Zambia, Father, electoral commission, Lord, help them. Give them wisdom. Give them courage to stand for you and with you during these weeks. Help them to do the right thing in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen and amen. Well, we're so glad that you could be with us in church. Even if it was on a computer screen or your cell phone, we love you. And Miracle Life, there are folks here ready to help you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus, and we'll see you at 18 hours tonight. God bless.